Discover the majestic healing power of horses with special expert Kevin Ehlers today on the Faithful and True podcast. Welcome to the Faithful and True podcast. We're happy to be back with you again today. I'm Randy Everett, the co-host, together with our host, Dr. Greg Miller, and once again, Debbie Laser, the director of Faithful and True. And this is, we promised you a second follow-up podcast with Kevin Ehlers. And Kevin is with us again today. In case you missed our last podcast, Kevin is the Territorial Disaster Services Coordinator for the Salvation Army in the USA, Central Territory. He's also the president and founder of the Institute for Compassionate Care and Reset Life Coaching, which are dedicated to equine-assisted coaching for personal and professional growth and trauma healing. And Kevin has returned to tell us all about that equine-assisted coaching. How are you today, Kevin?
Doing great. So thanks for having me on.
Well, we're glad that you are here. Well, and as Randy said, we're going to just set this up by talking a little bit about the work that you do with equine therapy. I know that Deb indicated at the last podcast she had the opportunity to be at the farm and experience that. And so kind of let's just start first with what is equine therapy and what is the environment that you're trying to create out on the farm?
Okay. So horses are just amazing creatures. And as far as, I always call it not using horses, but partnering with horses, because I think it's a very, very important part. So, you know, when people are experiencing trauma or sexual abuse or addiction or whatever they're going through, is in the last podcast, we talked about the importance of being present and being safe. And I just don't think that there's anything that creates that environment more than what God created us to live in. And we are so detached from that. So literally, I'll try to get people going to come out here if it's spring, summer, or fall, not obviously when it's 20 below zero, to take their shoes off, you know, but to get their feet literally on the ground. There's something that literally changes as far as helping to be literally grounded. We talk, use the word helping people to ground, but there is something physically grounding that happens with that, that changes, you know, how people's internal, you know, structure and how they're operating and stuff too. So, yeah, so that environment, I think just to start out, really was to provide that safe place so that the healing, the transformation, can happen for people.
Well, and what kind of environment? So if I come out to the farm, what is it that you would like for me to experience, or what is it important for me to see visually when I go out there to be a part of that?
It's a very sacred space is what I tell people, because when you come in contact with the horse and if you open yourself to what's happening on there, the horse is directly connected to the holy. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But when you come there, you have a round pen, you know, there's an area where the horses are under different paddocks. I have different areas that are sectioned off. Like I have what I call the story tree or the narrative tree. I call it the narrative tree. My clients have changed to the story tree. So you go on one side, it's actually a tree that died. It's a big stump that's still standing there. One side I have engraved in there a question mark. Another side is an exclamation mark. Another is a semicolon. The other side is an ampersand. And I think, so I invite people to literally do some shifts with their chair. You know, so where are they at? It's like, oh, I have big questions today, or I'm a lost place in life, or I'm mad. You know, I'm on the exclamation mark. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see how the horses interface with them, where they're at with that. And so there's a lot of really visual, experiential things that we do. I spent the first part of my life a lot of times just listening to people and talking to them and doing a lot of cognitive stuff, which is still good work. But I found that true transformation with people has to be all-encompassing. And so when I deal with somebody who's had some horrible trauma or whatever's happened, some losses, or needs some major internal shifts, doing those physical shifts help them to have some internal shifts as well, especially as they interface with the horses, see how they interact. And I can give you some examples of that later.
Okay. Do you find, Kevin, that the trauma work that you're helping people with moves faster when you bring horses into the therapy than when you just use talk therapy?
Yeah, it's so much faster. I feel like I can do more I do more intensives now. I like to do probably a minimum of a 90-minute session when I'm doing stuff with the horses. So sometimes people will come in for intensives. They'll either schedule, you know, like 90-minute sessions or a half a day. Some people will even schedule a day. You know, we'll do a 90-minute session, take a break. We're right across from 258-acre nature preserve, so they can go over there and walk and reflect. I have all kinds of spaces there. Like I talked about the narrative tree, but I have an old antique phone booth inside the horse stable area, and it has a sign on top of it that says the God booth. So I'll give people some reflection time to go sit in there. You know, so there's some other spaces and spots where people may sit with, and I have different signs and different places with different scriptures and stuff. And so, yeah.
Well, and what's true is trauma affects every part of who we are. There's a
yes.
holistic response to trauma. So it makes perfect sense that healing has to be holistic also, which it involves our bodies. It involves not just our souls or our cognitive thinking, but it's how we carry it physically. So it makes sense if I'm engaging the body in the healing journey that healing will come to the body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think one of the things I do a lot of stuff, I started incorporating a number of years ago some psychosensory stuff in there, and that has made a huge difference. And so when you and the horses interact with people very different than I can. You know, like, Greg, if I walk up to you and put my head on your chest, you know, that would probably feel weird, right? If I go up and start sniffing on your neck, you know, most of my clients would be like, okay, weird, get away from me. But I'll give you one example. I had a client out this last week, and she knew the horses pretty well. And she walks in the pen with us, and we were in the arena, and the horses just like all started walking away from her, and she was kind of hurt. I could tell. She was like, "What? No love, you know, for me?" And so I was like, "Come sit down." So I could tell she was really tense, and the horses don't like that. They don't like it if you're not present in your body. And so she was running late. She'd had a bunch of stuff with her ex-husband, and they were going through a fight and stuff. And so she comes in and she sits down. I said, okay, first of all, let's slow down. I know I talk fast. I don't talk fast in therapy.
you had therapy like, speed.
The yin and yang of Kevin.
I do. I'm a therapy speed. And I say, I just want you to start breathing. You know, and then we did some of the psychosensory stuff. And it's like, it was really interesting. Within about a minute or two, the horses started coming around us. So they surrounded her. And one of the horses she knows very well. It's interesting. She's a very experienced horse person. So a lot of horse people, you know, if the horses are kind of coming in their space and pushing on, they see it as disrespectful. And so he comes up and starts like bonking her on one side of the head and then kind of bonking the other side of the head. I could tell she was like, I said, you just need to sit there and breathe. He's working on you. And so she started breathing, and I said, don't just forget he's there. And so all of a sudden he comes up to her, and he starts kind of nibbling at her left shoulder blade. And she opens her eyes and looks at me and says, I got a huge stress knot there. I said, he's working on you. Just sit there and breathe into it. And so we're doing some psychosensory stuff, and it's like pretty soon, after a little bit, she's like, he left. He just got down and left. And she's like, it's gone. And she's like, I said, tell me what happened. And so she described this. Are there any words that come to mind? She said, the color shifted. And that's a lot of times people will say. And people don't know how to explain it, but there's like an internal shift with their vision, with their color, and what comes to mind with them. And so it was really, really fascinating. Another thing that happened before that, though, so I talked about we use equine. We have the horses there, but we have goats, and we have chickens, and we have cats. And it's interesting how these different characters, these critters, kind of play into God's, what I call his natural environment creating. But she came in. She'd been fighting with her ex. And I'd had this big pile of hay in the middle of the arena by them. And the two goats were sitting there eating passively. And she starts talking about, you know, her husband fighting with them. And all of a sudden, the boy goat starts pushing at her and starts knocking her away from the hay. And she starts walking away, and she gets mad. She turns around and rears up and bucks at him, and they start fighting. And, you know, her thing was like, that's what's going on in my life.
Right.
So you start, see them acting that out, and there's metaphors and stuff that happen. And so it creates these internal shifts that I think that's far more powerful than what I can do in just talking through it with people. So, yeah, I just love it.
Well, and
you could tell.
I've heard people talk about equine therapy, that part of the gift of the horse is that it can reflect and reveal what is in us.
Yeah.
And the horse sees it before we do. And if we listen to what the horse is telling us, we will begin to discover things about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We always talk, I like the word shift. Like an internal shift happens, And I think that's very, 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 very powerful. And horses are really good to do that. One of the things I really, early experience that happened, let me go back to how I got started with this, is a number of years ago, I was totally, completely burned out. And, my wife had a friend who invited us to go down to North Topsail Beach. It's down below the Outer Banks. And she had a house on the ocean. She invited us to take it for a week. And I needed it, but I was... I'm a workaholic, and I had a hard time getting away from stuff. And so my wife forced me to go, and it was really good. So the first day, I'm like taking a while to relax. And then as we were there, she said, I want to go ride horses on the beach. I'm like, oh, crap, I don't want to do that. You know, but, you know, if Mama's happy, then I'll be happy. And so finally, I did it just to make Mama happy. And we're out there on these horses. And what I didn't tell her, I was afraid of horses, because when I was in the high school, somebody put me on a horse, slapped its rump, and it took off with me. I didn't know how to ride a horse, and it took off. I didn't know how to get back, and it just scared me, and I fell out of control. And so I've had that trauma for quite a few years, and I hadn't been on a horse for years. And I loved horses before that. And but I'm riding these horses, and this group of wild Mustangs came out and started walking beside us. And it was very interesting inside that herd. And as I'm riding the horse, I felt something click inside my head, literally like a click. And I remember shaking my head, and I thought, well, I was weird. And there was an internal shift, and all of a sudden, I felt better. I wasn't aware of it. I got back in the car, and Jen's like, how do you feel? I'm like, I feel amazing. She's like, I told her what happened. I said, I feel like the horse did something to me. And she said, yeah, the horse fixed you. I'm like, what do you mean the horse fixed you? And so then, you know, that's that part of me. I'm like, I got to figure out what happened, because I've never had this experience. Something happened that I've never experienced before. And then that led me into really doing the research, and I got trained in the EGALA, Equine Assisted Growth and Learning Association stuff. And so that was like my obsession. So I've been obsessed with horses ever since.
So what would you say to someone who would say, I either don't have experience with horses, I'm intimidated by horses, I don't do animals. Like, what's the invitation for me to even consider this if there is resistance or fear to it?
Yeah, I have four different size horses. I got a big 17-hand horse, and then I have a 15-hand horse, and I've got a big mini and a little short mini. So the smallest horse can literally walk underneath the biggest horse without touching. So I probably start him with that. But it's really interesting is sometimes I'll tell people, you know, go pick a horse today to see, you know, who you relate to. But a lot of times what I find, the horse picks them. Mm-hmm. And horses have this amazing way of knowing what's going on inside us. And it took me a while, about 2,000 hours of being with horses, I started kind of understanding this a little bit. That a lot of people don't know how to talk about this, and they don't understand. Even people who've been around horses for years riding them, they use horses.
Right.
They don't partner with horses. They use horses. And so their goal is to keep control of the horse, show the horse I'm boss, and make them do something. Well, I use them very different. For us, the horses are at liberty. It means they don't have halters on. They can go where they want. So the horse gets to be a horse. And I tell the horse they get to be a horse. And so for me, I feel like they're God-directed, and they can do what they want. They can interface with the client the way that they need to. And so people are sometimes uncomfortable, but that's okay, because a lot of times there's these metaphors. People are uncomfortable with the trauma in their lives. And a lot of times these horses take on that. And it's really interesting how they will bring out this stuff that people need to deal with. So say you've got a woman or somebody who's been being pushed around by somebody, or a boss or a husband or whatever, you know, a lot of times that horse may literally start being pushed with them, you know, because it wants them to stand up and to set this down. As soon as they do, they'll leave them alone. And it's so fascinating. I can have five people come in the arena with a horse and they'll act different with all five of them.
Well, so it's kind of like what I'm hearing is the horse becomes the embodiment of whatever it is that I'm experiencing. So if I'm feeling anxious, then the horse becomes the embodiment of that anxiety. If I'm feeling peace, you know, then the horse becomes the embodiment of that peace.
Right, right. And that's what I have to do. So horses, and the other thing is, people will say, I hear this a lot, and it's a myth. You've got to show the horse that you're not afraid of them. Don't let them know you're afraid of you. You can't let a horse not know that you're not afraid of them. They know.
Right.
They sense your breath. They sense your heart rate. They know what's going on inside. You can't hide. You're better off to say to the horse, you scare the heck out of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're bigger than me, and walk up to the horse and he'll probably blow, you know, he'll snore, you know, or whatever, and lower his head and relax and breathe, and, you know, to let you know that. But it's so interesting. I think the one powerful first thing that I saw with horses as they acted this out, we had this big arena, And we were working with a number of different people and horses in the arena. And this woman was on the far, you know, side of it. And we said to her, what do you want to work on? She starts talking. And she said, I'm having some family issues. And I'm sitting there watching these two female mares come from either side of the far ends of the horse. And they start, I see them coming from opposite ends to come behind her. And they come up and stood behind her. And she's talking. And basically, you know, I saw her start getting agitated. And I said, you know, kind of what's going on? And she said, I know what's going on. This is just like my home. I have two sisters at home. They're always in my space. They don't leave me alone. And here were these two horses acting out her family dynamic. Nice. And I went to the person. I'm like, how did that happen? She's like, I don't know. It happens all the time. And I'm like, wow. And so it's like stuff like that that happens that's really uncanny. And I do believe that horses, you know, read our mind and they communicate with something higher than us. I go back to scriptures. Go back in Numbers chapter 22, there's a story of Balaam. I like to use the King James Version, Balaam's ass, you know, Balaam's donkey. And so Balaam has been told by his king to go and do a curse on somebody. And so he decides, first he says, no, I'm not going to do it. He's going to put the curse on Israelites, right? And they said, no, don't do it. Basically, come back three times to him. So he's on this donkey. He's going to do this thing. And all of a sudden, there's this path, and it's very, very narrow. And the donkey starts acting weird, and he's starting to go along the side, and he crushes the guy's foot up against the wall. And so Balaam gets really, really angry. And he jumps off of Balaam, and he just starts cussing at the donkey. And so he says to the donkey, he's basically, I would kill you right now. He's so mad. He's so mad. Interestingly, it says the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? And Balaam answered the donkey, you have made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. And so the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? No, said Balaam. And the Lord then opens Balaam's eyes, and you see that the angel of the Lord is standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed down and fell on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. And then the donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If she had not turned away, I would have certainly killed you by now and spared her. And so, of course, Balaam falls on his face and repents and the whole element. But I think it's such a powerful story. And some people say, did the Balaam actually use words and talk like Mr. Ed on TV? I don't know if that happened, but I do know that people will often say similar words. They hear, they feel, they sense this horse saying things to them. And so this whole element, I think horses are really connected to God and divine in a way that we're not aware of. And they have this way of creating these internal shifts and waking us up to stuff. And so I just experience it over and over and over again. It's just powerful to watch.
So. Do you find, Kevin, that horses, too, are different than other animals, like dogs or, you know, that sometimes they're trained as therapy animals as well?
Yeah. That's really important because we have used dogs on our crisis response teams for years. And they're amazing. They're really, you know, but there is a huge difference. So a dog and a cat and these other animals we generally have in our houses are predator animals, right? Their eyes on the front of their head, and they attack, they eat, they do whatever. Even though they're domesticated and they're very, very kind and loving to us. A horse is not a predator. A horse is a prey animal. So it influences everything. This is why I think horses are so amazing with people who are with trauma, people who understand who are working with them. So, you know, when people are in a trauma response, they've been preyed upon, right? They've had something happen to them, so they're hypersensitive. So horses are designed to survive. They see everything. Their eyes can almost see all the way around them. They are constantly in tune with everything around them with a sensory, but they also have a capacity to read, to almost do a body scan. They're like the best lie detector, you know, in the universe. And so, but it's a survival mechanism. So there's a lot of times that I think why horses relate to people is because of that. My middle horse, Hercules, he was three of my horses are horse rescue animals, and he was abused so badly. He was covered by a burlap sack, and they thought that he was going to die. They saw something new, and they pulled him out. He was so weak when they got him; he couldn't even stand. They had him in these slings to hold him up. But he is the most amazing, sensitive horse, and he's the one who was working on the gal I was talking about earlier. But, you know, it's kind of the same metaphor for people as they relate to him a lot of times because he still has the scars on him, you know. But Hercules has healed to be in this environment. But many of the ways I see working with the horses is like working with people who have suffered from abuse and trauma. They're hypersensitive. You know, they're living in sympathetic state, the parasympathetic state. So the horse can help to bring them down, and the horse can help them to really be grounded. And so, yeah, it's pretty amazing how horses can really relate to people in that way. The other thing is they also do something with our energy. People get weird. We talk about energy sometimes, but I call it the divine universal life force. But they will create internal shifts within our body. And I've experienced that so many times that they'll come up to me and start doing that, and you'll find that shift.
So I have a question for you, Kevin. When I came out to your farm and visited you and Jennifer not too many months ago, were you sitting there assessing me in terms of how the horses were responding to me? Because what's interesting is I have a photograph you took of Jennifer and me with the horses, and what I noticed when I look back at it is all the horses were snuggling in around Jennifer, and I was just standing there all by myself. So what did that mean anyway?
So if you said that to me in a session, I would say, and what did that say to you?
Yeah, I'm not loved, I'm not included.
Yeah.
Lots of painful stuff.
Yeah, she didn't tell you. She probably had carrots in her pocket or something.
You know? Oh, yeah. You know, now that you mention it, she did have treats for the horses.
So we kind of talked about the environment of the farm. So, Deb, how did you experience the farm? What was the environment that you had there?
Oh, it was so carefree and fun. You know, it was kind of a muddy day, as I recall, and these guys gave me some of my mud boots so I could walk around and not worry about that. And the chickens came up, and we were feeding chickens, and the goats came up and said howdy, and then the horses were in their stalls, and it was just a lot of fun. I mean, I realize how much I enjoy being with the animals, and yet my environment hasn't included much of that in my lifetime growing up in the city in Chicago, and so it was really a pleasure to be there. Yeah.
And what's true is the farm is located outside of Chicago.
Right.
So if you contrast the chaos, the busyness, the traffic, all that Chicago represents, and then to have this sanctuary, this place that you can go outside where there is this peace and this calm and this nurturing environment, it makes sense, Kevin, that what you do is really about nurturing people's soul in the context of this space.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, Kevin, it's like a holy space. It really is. It felt like that to me.
That's what a lot of times, and I actually call this place, I didn't know what to call it, but I call it Reset Ranch. You know, the name of the coaching thing is Reset Life Coaching. And that's been a really part, because I think it really helps people to reset. The R stands for restorative. The E stands for equine and other critters. S is for the spiritual focus part of that. And then the E is the endogenous and exogenous. And then T is for transformation and trauma healing. And so I think, Deb, you're right. That's what most people say when they leave here. They feel very different physically. There's a calmness. There's a peace. And that stuff is really important. And the horses do it. It's not me.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, we can't thank you enough for joining us for these two podcasts today. And can you give us some information on how our listeners could reach you?
Yeah, the easiest way is to go to resetlifecoaching.net, and that's our website, and there's a contact form there, or the email is resetlifecoach@gmail.com. And, you can find us there. So.
Well, that would be fantastic. We appreciate that. And we really appreciate your time today. It's been so interesting. Most of your stories with the horses just gave me chills. Mm-hmm. Just really wonderful, moving stuff. So we'd love for you to greet Jennifer for us. We had the pleasure of having her join us a couple of months ago. And the two of you are both a delight. And we thank you for that.
Thank you very much. A privilege to be on your show. I so appreciate what you guys have done. You made an amazing difference in the lives of people for so many years. So we're glad to be to partner with you guys and help any way that we can.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, we're your non-equine partners.
Yes.
Hey, you come out here, you may be transformed.
It sounds like that's almost a for sure deal there. All right. Well, we'd like to thank our listeners for joining us today on the Faithful and True podcast. We hope that you have found this conversation to be as enlightening as we have. We would like to invite you to, if you haven't already, please, we'd like for you to join our YouTube channel and click on like as well, and we would appreciate that. If you're in need of our help, if you are struggling with any sexual addiction issues, we offer men the Men of Valor 3-day intensive workshop that we do every month, and we have all of the information and online registration for that at faithfulandtrue.com. Until we join you again next week, we would like to invite you to have a week that's filled with many blessings and great vision.